Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp. And yes, we do have the virtual kitchen table all warmed up for you. And this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. And of course, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. And how could it not be? Because I'm here with my buddies. Hi, guys.
Hello there. We're coming from the other end of that wonderful, nicely warmed kitchen table. And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. And I guarantee you it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it is most definitely another beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well, as always. And it's nice to be with you guys again. And as you know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry, online unity ministry, events-driven unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, Y-O-U, because it's about you, universalprosperity.com.
And since that's a lot to type in, we make it very easy for you by using the initials. So you can find us at ucfyp.com.
Yes, and I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find the calendar and you can find where I am on Zoom, the churches that are hosting me. So I'm doing a lot of talks on Sunday, folks, so you can find where I'm doing that. And so, why don't we get romping? We had so much fun last week with those quotes from Eric Butterworth, and Cher has a bunch more. So we're going to play with a few more of Eric's quotes, and this is going to be like part two. I don't know if there's going to be a part three, and we've been discussing in the background, what are we going to do as we're moving forward? How can we help you, our listener, understand the metaphysics, apply the metaphysics, and also maybe give you a doorway into what we do when we're reading a horse historic text. So stay tuned. That may be coming soon.
And send us emails. Let us know what you'd like us to do.
Yes, that would be really great. Really great. Okay, Cher, you're in the driver's seat. Even if it doesn't seem like you are, you always are. So what quotes do you have to share with us today?
Okay, I've just been taking some time to revisit, if you will, discover the power within you, since we've been doing this little segment on Eric Butterworth. And so Bill and I have looked at some of the different, each of us has our own copy of that book. So we've been looking at what kinds of things we've underlined. Here's one that really jumped out at us. It's on page 66 in my book. Decide the kind of world you want to experience, the kind of friends you want to have, the success you want to achieve, and the kind of conditions you would like to see manifest in your home, your neighborhood, your office, and begin to think the kind of thoughts that will draw them to you by the irresistible force of consciousness.
Yes. And you asked me before the program if we had done that quote. And we had. Now that I heard that.
I thought so.
Well, that last bit, especially. And it is worth repeating because we didn't talk about something, okay? And this is the idea of the mental equivalent that's sometimes talked about. And today we would say the thinking, feeling nature equivalent, in the sense that we have to create it in our consciousness and see it in our consciousness. Use our power of imagination to see it in every detail, so that we can draw ourselves to it, okay? And this is why it's worth repeating. And this is a demonstration for our listeners of how we read a book. And we read a book with this background knowledge of things the writers have said in the past, and then update what we're reading. So read that last bit again, because that's really important.
The begin to think the kind of thought, that one?
Yeah.
Begin to think the kind of thoughts that will draw them to you by the irresistible force of consciousness.
Right. And we would say today, mm-hmm. think and feel you know, feel it, see it, use your power of imagination, you know, use your four functions of consciousness, thinking, feeling, sensing, intuiting, really grasp it in the realm of your consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then what happens, I'm going to use one of those terms that Bill used a lot and we haven't heard in a while, then confirmation bias happens. Then you will begin to see around you the things that you can use to bring that, whatever it is you're imagining, into your reality in the outer realm.
I love to use the word rise above, because this really helps you rise above whatever the negativity is around you in the world. And people focus on that and on the, I'm just, you know, I'm so depressed, or I'm fearful. You can rise above all of that with this process.
Right. And another thing that people don't think about when they read a quote like this is you're using your power of faith. Mm. It's the assurance of things unseen, right? So you have to believe it's possible. And if you can get from belief to conviction, and with conviction, I think we're having a realization of it in our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And since you mentioned about faith, when you think about it, concepts like faith, attitudes, perspectives like faith, they don't appear in the brain. The biochemical in us, is that a word? The biochemicalness of the brain doesn't actually store this stuff. And it's not where faith comes from. It's not where our thoughts and ideas and rights of consciousness come from. Consciousness isn't in the brain. It's recorded by the biochemistry of the brain, but that's not where it originates.
Yeah. And this is where we're getting that, let's call it attention, between the group of scientists who think the biochemistry give rise to thoughts and feelings, and the other group that says it's the thoughts and feelings. You know, when I say thoughts, I mean thoughts, ideas, beliefs, images. When I say feelings, I mean feelings, emotions, perceptions, experiences and attitudes and all of that, that there's a correspondence between what we're holding in our consciousness and our mind and what's happening in the brain. And we haven't talked about this much, but for me, it's becoming more like a unit. That they're so simultaneous, we don't know which is the cause and which is the effect. So I like to think of them as cause and effect to each other.
Two sides of the same coin.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And so are we talking about two sides of the same Cohen, K-O-A-N? Is that-
Another Billism.
Another Billism, yes. Along with, what was that word you just made up?
Biochemicalism.
Biochemicalness, I think.
Chemicalness, yes. Yeah. And when he said, is that a word? I was going to say that has never stopped him in the past.
Why are you asking?
And here's something interesting. It just, you guys didn't even know I had this, but when you brought up faith out of Spiritual Economics, another one of Butterworth's books that we really enjoy, I had marked up a quote about faith.
Oh, so great.
Can I use that to tie in what we're talking about?
Absolutely.
He says, and this is on page 70 in my copy of the book, don't miss this vital insight. Faith is not a vague process of believing in something, much like a rote learned confession of I believe in God, quote, it is rather a positive act of turning on something. The power is already within you, for you are the power being projected into visibility as you. The idea, I'm skipping a piece. The ideal is not believing in, but believing from.
Yes. Yes, we believe from. We really believe from and based on the realm of divine ideas or our innate divinity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And interesting, if we tie it in with feelings, something I've been playing around with the word faith a lot lately, because the whole question of what is faith, what does that mean? You know, what does faith mean and why is it such a powerful power for us? And I'm thinking a lot of it, if we really have faith, it affects our feelings because we no longer need fear or doubt.
Yeah.
Because we move forward knowing that this is true. And if we're doubting it, then it's not the full level or the full abundance of faith. Doesn't mean that still won't be the truth. It just means that we aren't taking it to the full level we could.
Yes. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's a few powers that the feeling side of it is more obvious than other powers. Like, for example, getting in touch with the feeling side of elimination, the power of elimination, is a little difficult. But for me, faith, it has feeling nature with it. Love, the power of desire, has feeling nature with it. Zeal has feeling nature with it. And we could probably think of a few more. So for me, faith includes this feeling nature. And remember, I just said thinking, feeling, sensing, intuiting. And so there is feeling, but there's also intuiting in faith. There's the intuition that this thing already exists in consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's not just a thought. It exactly. is definitely thought feeling. And that's why you have conviction.
Yeah.
And intuition is logic in a hurry.
Well, yes, yes. So intuition is logic in a hurry. Yeah. Yes. And I think it really is a combo of one-mindedness, let me put it that way, and also access to what we already know, but we don't have to bring it up into our full awareness. It's there, backing it up. And so that's why I like that definition you have, Bill.
And our audiences have heard the three of us talk about adding the feeling nature to it. It's very much an integral part of that whole mix. It's more than just heart-centeredness, however. You've got to have perception and the brain involved, mindfulness involved too. It's not just one or the other. And Paul had mentioned about a combination of both of them, and the three of us agree with that. You need both the heart and the neurons, if you will, working for you. And it's the neuron piece that gets you beyond the confirmation bias, number one, because you question that unquestioned answer so that you can move beyond that, hopefully with feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And more conviction.
And even more so than when we wrote the 12 power books that we're both involved in, for me, faith is a knowing that's not necessarily based on any outer evidence, where understanding is a knowing that's based on outer evidence.
Exactly.
And I remember, Cher, when we had trouble figuring this out, and there is a little crossover with them, but faith is more like belief, which can't be proven or disproven, and understanding is more like facts, which can be proven or disproven. And in the process of having faith in something that is unseen, that you know you can manifest as seen, is that it moves eventually from faith to, oh, now it's a fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had faith I could be a unity minister. It wasn't a fact. Now I'm a unity minister. Same thing with you guys. When you started your study, you were on a track to become a unity minister. So you had the thinking, feeling nature at the level of faith, right? You had a conviction, right?
Right.
And you could see it and feel it in your consciousness. Now, people can't see it, so I'm pointing to my mind. But it's really, like Bill said, it's not just our neurons, right? And when we talk about our heart, we're not necessarily talking about our physical heart, because our metaphysical heart is bigger than our physical heart.
Exactly. Right, definitely. And go ahead.
And our heart has neurons in it too. A lot of people don't realize that. It's got around between 60 to 100,000 neurons, is what neuroscientists tell us. So there's a thinking nature also involved in the heart, much more than feeling. But I'm also thinking about what you just said, Paul, got me thinking about using both sides. the kind of consciousness we're talking about involves both right and left brain hemispheres and their synchronization. And when you get that working at the same time, that's when you enter into a higher order of thinking.
Right. And you're synchronizing your brain, and we're synchronizing with our higher self.
Yes.
With our divinity. Really, yes. Really important things to realize.
Yep. Definitely. We're getting in sync with our higher nature.
Right. And isn't that what we've been talking about? Meditation is about synchronizing our humanity with our divinity.
Yep.
So let's just let that S-Y-N-C in.
Yes.
Sink in.
In, right?
And part of what I'm thinking as I'm listening to this discussion we're having is the feeling of faith is what gives us the juice. We were talking about before the show, we were talking about the juice you have around a project.
Yeah.
And when you have the feeling nature of your faith, I think that might be what gives you the juice to work on it, keep moving forward.
So what I would say, and I'm agreeing with you, is when our faith faculty is working like that, it's really when we're activating our faith faculty in that way, we are also activating our zeal.
Yes. And life, because life is what we are, and inner strength. Those are the things we can use to give the life to the project. You know, everybody thinks of health with life, but it's also that life we give after the zeal. You know, you can get psyched up about something, but once that high energy excitement is gone, what is it that keeps you going?
Life and strength dominion.
And dominion, yes, always dominion, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really a curious process. And the more we know it in detail, the better we can use it consciously, right?
Definitely, yeah.
So I'm wondering, if you look at your book, is there one short quote we can share right now?
There is, and it comes from page 129 in the book. And it says, it's the book Power Within You. You are a spiritual being, and your life is lived from within out.
Yes.
Relax and let go, and let life fulfill itself in you and as you.
Yeah, you know, that is so beautiful.
We need that.
I'm so comforted about it, and I don't agree with it anymore. Here to you, okay? Because we don't talk about us being spiritual beings anymore amongst ourselves. We are spiritual beingness.
Right.
Spiritual beingness. And then go on.
You are spiritual beingness. Let's say that. Yeah.
And I'm going to interrupt you there too, because what Paul just said, folks, is so important. The reason we use spiritual beingness is that we are more than the particular garment, i.e. being incarnation that we are. People look at you and say, well, that's Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. You're more than that being. You're a beingness.
Right. And our spiritualness is definitely not a being.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Let's see if we can finish this.
Your life is lived from within out.
Okay. I'm really clear of. However, we may live from the within out, but our out sometimes informs our within.
Is true. That's right? Good. Yeah.
It's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what we are within affects how we see what's without and how what we choose to let in.
Yes.
So you're right. It all connects. And then relax and let go and let life fulfill itself in you and as you.
Okay. So that's a piece where I'm going, you know what? That now we're back to let go and let God.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, but relax and let go does help. Because it reminds you to relax and align with your higher nature.
That I agree with. However, our higher nature is not a dictator.
This is true.
Yes. Our higher nature isn't. So I'm not letting the power of life move me along. I don't even use what we call human life or life on the planets move us along, do we? But we can use, and we must use, the power of life within us to move us along. And speaking of moving along. There we go again. The virtual table was hot. Okay. So we're now going to look at the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from June 13th. The words are world peace, world peace. I am peaceful with others as peace flowers in the world. I am at peace as I join in spirit with all people who dedicate themselves to expressing divine love, united in the belief that everyone is fully divine. In our divinity, we are identical. In our humanity, we are wondrously unique. I affirm the divinity of humankind as I honor each person is uniquely expressing their humanity from their divinity. I recognize and release any unkind thoughts or feelings toward any person or group of people. I respect all others and seek to learn about unfamiliar customs and beliefs in a spirit of kinship. My warm and friendly attitude communicates my intentions as effectively as my words. I smile easily as I extend myself in a spirit of friendship. I know as peace flowers between individuals, peace grows in the world. I am peaceful with others as peace flowers in the world. Wow. So that one I was noticing, it's a little harder to speak than it is to read. Okay, folks, thank you for listening. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. Delighted, as always, that you've invested your time to listen to our program. And I'm grateful for the Reverend Drs. Bill and Cher Holden that make this program possible. Goodbye, my friends.
Bye. Thank you so much. And we look forward to the next one. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holden.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holden. And it's Alvita Zane this time for you. See you next podcast.